Hello, Arizona, and welcome to this episode of Valley of the Sun Real Estate Show, the show that's about anything and everything that you need to know when it comes to your real estate needs right here in the Valley of the Sun, Phoenix, Arizona. I'm your host, Jason Bates, a lender who lives in and is a part of your community. And if you want to reach out to me, I definitely want to hear from you. You can do so by visiting my website at www.valleyofthesunrealestateshow.com. And from there, connect with me on any social media platform. I'd love to hear from you. And if you're listening to me on iTunes, please write a review as it is one of the only ways that I have to help improve the show. So thank you for doing that. Hey, just checking out some new music here that we're kind of testing out here on the show. So hopefully that'll work out. And let me know if you like it or not. Just kind of testing out, trying to change things up there a little bit. Hey, I want to get into today's episode real quick because it's a lot to cover here. And I want to kind of debunk kind of some mortgage misconceptions here. And I want to go over these. I got 10 of them here. And I get approached by these all the time. And I want to kind of touch base on all 10 of these. So if you're thinking that there's some misconceptions, or maybe you feel this way about certain things when it comes to a mortgage, I want to address these things. So this would be the episode for you. So now, the number one housing misconception that I've got written down, and these aren't in any type of chronological order or rating order or anything like that, but number one is owning is cheaper than renting. A lot of people feel that if you own, it's cheaper than renting because you can purchase a home. You know, a lot of cases, especially now in 2015, you can own a home for less than what you're paying in rent. And so therefore, owning might be cheaper than renting. That's not always the case. And I want to make this very, very clear here because there are other things as a homeowner that you're going to be responsible for. Fixing items, doing things like insurance and having certain proper coverages on the home that you may not have as a homeowner. So owning isn't always cheaper than renting. Some cases it is, especially if you get a home that doesn't have any problems. But there are a lot of times when you purchase a home, unfortunately, where there's going to be some problems with that home. And so you need to fix those things in order to keep that value up there. So don't think that renting is going to be cheaper than owning. A lot of cases, owning is a little more expensive than renting. Now, again, it all depends on how much you're actually paying in rent and how much home you're looking for. You know, a lot of cases, even when you purchase like a condo, for example, the association takes care of the yard and the maintenance around the home, maybe the roof, that sort of thing. But there are other things that can add up. Hot water heaters, just routine maintenance on maybe the AC unit or the heater, those sort of things that as a renter, you're not going to be responsible for, but as an owner, you are going to be responsible for. So just keep the routine maintenance costs in mind when looking at owning versus renting as far as the actual costs go. Now, misconception number two here is the asking price is the selling price. When you're going to look at a home, remember that everything is negotiable, everything. So don't be afraid to ask. If the house is selling or listed for $150,000, don't be afraid to ask a lower sales price or to include as part of your offer some of the things that you're looking for in that home. Maybe new screens on the windows. Anything that you feel that may need to be fixed that may be a cost to you, don't be afraid to ask that seller to include those as part of the repairs. For them to accept your offer. The asking price is not always the sales price. So just remember that everything is negotiable, including that price. It's not just the price, but everything else. If you need items fixed, include those in your offer. And if you've got a good realtor, they'll advise you on those sort of things. So be open with your realtor as to exactly what you're looking for in that home. You may like the layout, but there may be other aspects of the home that you don't like. Maybe new carpet. Ask for a new carpet allowance. Don't be afraid to go in there and ask for what you want because everything is negotiable. And if you got a good realtor, that's their job is to negotiate those things so that you're happy. So keep that in mind. Very, very important. Misconception number three, to own a home, you must have perfect credit. Now, I've done some podcasts in the past, and you can certainly listen to those as part of my Valley of the Sun Real Estate Show podcast about credit. And you don't have to have perfect credit. Now, each lender has their own set of guidelines as to what they will accept for credit. And remember, credit score is just a reflection of the risk in lending in you or with you money that you need then to therefore purchase a home. Easy for me to say there. So the risk is in lending in you, not lending on the home. The home is the collateral, but you're the one actually making the payments back to the bank. And so the risk, the credit score is there to help the bank to decide what type of risk or how much risk they're willing to take in investing in you. Now, typical most lenders are around a 640 or above. If you're in that 640 or above credit score range, then you're in the home buying range. Now, some lenders will go down as low as a 580, and in some cases even lower than that, depending on how much money you're going to put down on the home. And as our economy starts to rebound, I suspect that that credit score will probably come down a little bit. There is a lot of pressure from political aspects and political, you know, groups to encourage more homeowners. At the same time, there's pushback from the banks to say, hey, look, we don't want to get back in that risky lending business again. So there's going to be some middle ground. There's going to be some jostling back and forth. But right now, just try to shoot for 640, even if you're 620. You know, 620 is kind of the rule that I tell everybody. But 640, obviously, the higher the credit score, the better the terms. But 620, you still can buy a house with a 620 credit score and get a really, really good deal. And also remember this, the seller doesn't know your credit. They just know whether you're qualified or not. So don't let your credit score be a substitute for you to accept terms that you may not be comfortable with from the seller. So I get the sense from buyers all the time that they're just willing to accept an offer because they just are happy to get into a home. Try to separate the two things out. The home is one thing. Negotiate, get everything that you want. The loan is totally separate. So you want a good credit score, no question about that. But don't let, you know, a lender tell you, hey, you got bad credit, therefore you need a higher, you know, interest rate or more money down or something like that. Don't let that fall over and roll over into you negotiating on the house. Get the home that you want with the amenities that you want for sure. All right. So now misconception number four, pre-approval is the same thing as a pre-qualification. Now I've done a podcast on this as well, but I want to reiterate this because a pre-approval is when it's gone through underwriting. And so you've already submitted all your income documentation, all your asset documentation, everything that's needed to, as far as you being the person buying the house. Obviously, we're not going to have an appraisal. We're not going to have maybe the title work or some of that other things associated with a loan file. But a pre-approval is going to look at your credit profile, your income, and your assets and determine how much you can afford to pay. A pre-qualification is just looking at your credit. It's not necessarily looking at your income. A lender or a loan officer can look at your income and do a quick analysis of the income, but it's not going to be a verification of employment. There's going to be certain things that are going to be missing from the pre-qualification that a pre-approval is going to have. Pretty much a pre-approval is going to give you the confidence to go out there and get a home, get it under contract, and the only pieces of information that would be missing would be the contract, the appraisal, and maybe the and the title work on the home. Other than that, everything else is going to be already reviewed by an underwriter. So very distinct distinction there between pre-approval and pre-qualification. Misconception number five. You need at least 20% to put down to buy a home. Now, this is a big one because that is just so far from the truth. And I get this all the time. I get people that call me and say, hey, Jason, I'd love to buy a home, but I just don't have enough money to put down. And I ask them, how much do you think you need to put down? Well, I need to put down 20%. Wrong. You can get a home with as little as 3% down on a conventional or 3.5% down FHA. And if you're looking in some of the outlying areas with USDA, you can put down as little as no money down. And there are down payment assistance programs available. Of course, if you're a veteran, there's no money down on a VA loan required. So there are low down payment programs out there for you to purchase a home. Don't feel that you have to have all this money in order to purchase a home. You don't need to. If we can work on your credit and get your credit in a position, and mind you, with a 3.5% down, you can go down as low as a 620, even a 580 credit score and still put only 3.5%